Good morning, everyone. It's a privilege to be here again this morning. Enjoyed the devotional this morning, Marcus, on meekness. And that last thing that you said about Christians being sweet and sour places and small and big places. And there was one more. That's a tremendous challenge. That's a tough one. Reminds me of the poem by Rudyard Kipling, the implication was if you can be the same with regular people as you can be with kings and governors. And that's something that we are very influenced by our surroundings, and we often act differently depending what surroundings we're in. And that's a little bit what I'd like to talk about this morning. If you would, turn with me to Psalm 1. I don't have a title for the opening this morning. I just want to look at this psalm. This is one that my mom had me memorize when I was in my early teens. Before going out the door to school in the morning, I'd have to recite however far I'd learned by then. And it's one that I say I can still say the whole thing by memory, but I'm not going to try it up front because even normal, mundane things I forget in front of a crowd of people. So I'm going to read it. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Very familiar passage, very familiar psalm. And the things that I have to share this morning are not earth-shattering, they're not mind-bending, they're not brand new. It's just more of what the Bible has for us. I like how these passages kind of give us a view of both the godly and the godly, both by what is said and also by what is not said. Because by definition, the things, if we're doing one thing, we're not doing something else. So if you're doing godly things, you're not doing ungodly things. And so we kind of get a well-rounded picture of both the godly man and the ungodly one by looking at this psalm. And it contrasts in the first two verses both the life and also the beliefs, also the desires, also the goals of those who associate with or respect ungodly people in their lifestyle, and contrasting that with those who follow God. It talks about the counsel of the ungodly. And that talks to me about listening, taking in and seeing it as wise. The things that come from immoral society, the counsel of the ungodly, taking our cues for life from popular culture. And depending what stage of life you're in, that's taking it from different people. And as a young person, I'm not sure about the girls, but I know for guys, one place that it's easy to take those cues for life from is sports stars. Now, there's nothing wrong with sports. There's nothing wrong with a sport. Some sports are maybe less conducive to godliness than others. But I don't like when somebody slams a sport, say football, for example, because there's nothing wrong with the sport in and of itself. But there is something wrong in idolizing those who play it professionally, simply because anytime something becomes an idol, separates us from God. And professional football, I'm going to give you just a little bit of my personal opinion on this, guys, because I know it's football season. And again, I'm not slamming football as a sport, but there is something about professional football that I think is especially dangerous in that their big games are always played on Sunday. The big thrust of the game is the masculinity, the macho-ness, the build of these guys, and they're elevated to a godlike status. Look how fast they run. Look how they bulldoze their way through their opponents. And again, big games played on Sunday. Pretty clear things that are opposition to what the Bible says our goals and our ideals should be. So think about that, young men. Again, I'm not slamming football as a sport, but be careful in the way you idolize pro football players, because it's not something that's taking our cues for life from an ungodly society, which is exactly what this is talking about. It says, the counsel of the ungodly. And that's true beyond just football. I'm using that simply as an example because that's a big thing that's happening this time of year. But that's true across society, whether it's singers, whether it's actors, whether it's movies, whether it's social media influencers, whether it's popular authors. It's easy to take our cues for life, the way we should dress, the way we should talk. Every generation has jargon that isolates it in history. The slang expressions that instantly date you. The things that you guys are going to say, that your children are going to say, oh, Dad, Mom, that was so 2020. And we look at some of the things that our parents say and the things that my generation says, and it dates us. But that is really taking our cue for life from popular society. So let's be careful how we do that. The Bible says that's ungodly. It talks about the way of sinners. That's talking about being like in the path with them, walking with them. And that talks to me about peer pressure. And peer pressure is a big thing at any age. And I know often, again, we look at young people when we talk about peer pressure, you know, don't give in to peer pressure. And the reason that it's important, extra important at your age, is because you are molding the rest of your life right now. And when you reach your early 20s, you have a path set. Now, you can deviate from that, but by a path set, I mean, you have a mindset that is now going to govern a lot of the way that you look at the rest of your life. The way that you make your decisions, the people that you talk to in making those decisions, you have a lot of that kind of laid out, and which is why peer pressure right now is especially important and talked about. But it's true at any stage of life. All of us face peer pressure. You know, And peer pressure comes from different places. We used to get peer pressure from those in our immediate group. Now we get it from blogs and videos, and like I said, social media influencers. And we have a broader societal peer pressure than we used to when we were more restricted to those we actually physically associated with or books that we read. So think about peer pressure. Make sure the peer pressure that you're getting, the ones you're associating with, the influence that you're getting is that of godliness. Negative association, choices that put you in a place of danger, making choices, lifestyle or simply life choices, that deliberately place you in a place that you may be more face more temptation and that sort of thing. Stay away from that. Talks about the seed of the scornful, disregarding godly advice, finding ways to mock things that we don't like. That's one of the things that psychologists use in warfare, in psychological warfare. They tear down the things that the enemy believes in their eyes, because if they can make it seem ridiculous, they don't have to go any farther than that. If the United States military can make Taliban think that their cause is ridiculous, they don't have to fight them anymore. The Taliban will just quit fighting for it. And the same thing is true in our lives and in the things that we stand for. If the devil can make it look, in our minds, if he can make it look ridiculous, then he doesn't have to do anything more. So be careful of scorn. And then it contrasts that with delighting in the law of the Lord. And I think that's talking about truly enjoying the work of following God. Now, there is work that goes into it. It's not a simple, easy thing that you just fall into. There is work. There's work involved in Bible study. But it talks about delighting in that. Seeking it out is another way of saying that. Looking for ways that godly men and women live, taking our cues from them and taking advice from them. Meditate on his law day and night. And that's talking about living out godliness, living it out every day. Doesn't mean that we're always carrying a Bible with us and every time we have a spare minute, we're reading it. It doesn't mean that you have to be actually involved in Bible study all day long, every day. But it means living out the truth that you know and practicing righteousness constantly. So you come to a choice, you take the righteous choice. You come to decision, you make a righteous decision. That's what it's talking about, meditating on his law day and night. And like I said, if by definition, if you're one thing, you're not its opposite. So as it goes on to talk about what a godly person is like a tree, what does a tree represent? If we look at the way trees are used in the Bible, often it speaks of growth, and it speaks of strength, and it speaks of sustenance or support. So a godly person is one who is growing, one who is strong, one who is giving help to others. So by definition, an ungodly person is one who is weak, one who is not growing, one who is not giving support to others. So when we're looking at, am I taking my cues from a godly or ungodly society? Look at those. Is this something that generates growth? Is it something that generates more responsibility? Is it something that gives me strength? Or is it opposite? It says it's well-watered. Means it's flourishing. It's getting proper nutrition. And it's staying close to the source of life. A tree that is by a river of water stays by the river of water. And it gets more than what it needs. There's more water there than it's going to use. But it stays close to that. And, of course, in our Christian lives, that means staying close to God. Talks about it being fruitful. And fruitfulness, it says in season. That talks to me about patience as well. So we think of fruitfulness as you know, obviously the results of a life that's well lived. But there's also patience that's in that. Fruit trees, how often do they bear fruit? Is it all year round? Any time of day you go out there, there's fruit out there. There's times where that tree's growing, where it has to go through blossoming, through pollinization, through the whole nine yards, and then you have fruit for a while, and then it goes through the season again. So building up to that, there's patience that has to be had. You have to go through that process. And often we want it now. We like instant results. I want to be able to say, yes, Lord, I will follow you, and now I'm going to be fruitful. But often God takes us through testing. He takes us through growth. He takes us through all these things of staying close to him and seeing that we're flourishing. And then in season, there is fruit. And we can be useful. It also talks about it being vibrant. If it's not withered, it's alive. Prosperous. Being prosperous means there's consistent growth. It means that there's evident growth. You can see it. And it also means that the growth is useful. If someone is being prosperous, they're being able to use their resources wisely. And then it talks about the opposite of godly in verse 4. Just the simple opposite. It's chaff. Now chaff is like the, if I understand right, it's like the husk of a kernel of wheat. So it's what you see on the outside. When you look across a field of wheat and you see all those beautiful kernels, you're actually just seeing the chaff. The kernel's inside that. And I see multiple parallels that we can draw from this, that it's light, it's shallow, there's no substance when it comes time for the winnowing. And I've not seen this done with wheat, but I've seen it done with rice. It's the same sort of thing where they'll take baskets of it and they toss it up in the air like this, and the wind comes and just blows the husks away. And by the time they throw it up and down a couple times, they've got a basket of nice rice kernels, and the the chaff has just blown away. And that's what this is talking about. It's just, it's light. It's shallow. There's no substance to chaff. But it's the first thing that people see. And often that's the thing we focus on the most is what are people going to see? So we focus on externals rather than internals. And then verses 5 and 6 talk about what God thinks about this. Ungodly aren't trustworthy. It says God can't live with unrighteousness. Right now, grace and mercy are what we have. God is extending that to us right now. He's giving us the chance to make our wrongs right, giving us the chance to right our mistakes and do our best. But when it comes time to actually meet God, whether it's in the end of time or whether it's through death, when that time comes, it's going to be righteousness and unrighteousness, because God cannot live with unrighteousness. And I think sometimes we blur that line because we're living in the age of grace right now. We are, and we have it, but it's going to stop. When we meet God, it's going to be righteousness that's going to be with him, because God cannot dwell with unrighteousness. But it says here, God knows the way of the righteous. And he has relationship with that person. And knowing the way, again, that also talks about a path. And God knows the path of the righteous because he designed it. He designed that path for maximum fulfillment of our lives. And it doesn't always feel like it. Sometimes it feels like deprivation when we have to go to church on Sunday instead of staying home and watching a big football game. But that is the way of maximum fulfillment. And it says, God knows that way. The Lord knows that way. But the way of the ungodly, it's going to perish. Very simple. It's not worth it to be chaff. There's many things that look like they might be worthwhile. But the test is really easy. If they line up with God's value and God's characters, they're worthwhile. And so my challenge to us this morning is to be Christians with purpose, knowing the path, know the path of the godly, and take our cues from God and from godliness and not from an immoral society.